This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for joining us this episode 40 of our series The Blessed Women Around the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we begin alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah with the praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us the ability to reach this milestone. Episode 40, what a wonderful milestone for us. When we began the series, we didn't expect that we would go this far, and we can only thank Allah that we have been able to get to this level. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us acceptance from Him, to grant that this be a means of goodness and khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means by which the ummah is able to reconnect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that all those who participated in putting this together, myself and then the team at Burhanul Islam, our partners at Muslim Central and at Voice of the Cape, may Allah bless all of us, ameen, and our family. And for those of you who've listened and shared and have sent through the questions, may Allah bless you as well, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you your efforts, and let this be a small token of our love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family. These 20 minutes that we take twice a week, let it just be counted, ya Allah, that this is our little contribution, that we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family, and this is our devotion to our mothers. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in us a sense of connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family, as we know that they are not just our role models, they're not just, you know, our Nabi and his family, but this is really our family, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our spiritual mothers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our spiritual father. That this is one family, one ummah, and these are like our parents in a spiritual sense. So I hope, inshallah, that with these small efforts, we have come a lot closer to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his blessed family. Then of course, this being where I am in the world, Cape Town, this is the 31st of December, it's the last day of 2018. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives me and those of my love, and for all of you as well, the mistakes and the errors that we've done for 2018. We thank Allah for granting us one more year of fasting and of salah. May Allah accept all our ibadat and forgive all our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive those who have passed away. Very dear people have passed away this year to you and to me as well. My father-in-law in particular has passed away this year. May Allah forgive him and have mercy on him. May his grave and the graves of all those who have passed away be a garden of Jannah, and may we be reunited together with them in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. And then looking forward to 2019, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes 2019 better than 2018. Let us affirm our niyyah today that when the clock turns over to the new year, that this will be a better year for all of us, from a personal sense, in terms of our deen and our dunya. May Allah grant us all that is best. May Allah keep us safe and our families safe from the fitnas and the difficulties. And may Allah alleviate the suffering for so many Muslims across the world. 2018 has been a difficult year for many, many people. May Allah make it easy, and may 2019 be a better year for all of us. Walhamdulillah. Ameen. Back to our series, and we were talking with regards to our mother, Maria Al-Qibtiyya, and this is the second last personality in our series. There'll be one or two discussions around certain other names that might have popped up. Rayhana, you might have heard about her. Where does she fit into the picture? You might have heard about the June lady, the Lady of Jawn. There's an interesting story surrounding her, and those little issues will pick up after we complete our discussion of our mother Maria and our mother Maimuna. But we are still talking about our mother Maria Al-Qibtiyya. We would remember that we said that she was a Christian lady. She was given as a slave to the church by her parents, she and her sister Sirin. They grew up in the church in Egypt. Very beautiful ladies, very educated, very sophisticated ladies, but they were slaves nonetheless. They were sent as gifts to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted Maria as his concubine, and Sirin she was given to Hassan ibn Thabit. Hassan ibn Thabit, the poet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very interesting Sahabi, Hassan ibn Thabit. And just a side note on him, you'd find that Hassan radiallahu anhu did not have the qualities maybe in terms of strength like Khalid ibn Walid, was not known to be on the battlefield. In fact, he never participated in jihad because he was not able to fight. But where he was unable to do certain things, when it came to giving poetry and being able to respond to the Quraysh, then no Sahabi could stand up except Hassan ibn Thabit, and then he stood up and he was able to respond in that manner. So we find, alhamdulillah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, surrounded himself with a team of people, and each one was specialized and each one was gifted in their own right. Not everyone was the scholar. Not everyone was the tahajjud making sahabi. Not everyone was the warrior in jihad. Not everyone was generous, but each one had their strengths. And this, subhanAllah, looking towards 2019, what we need in terms of this ummah is for each and every one of us to do and play one role within the ummah. Each and every one of us, we could be gifted in some way. Maybe Allah has given you intelligence. Maybe Allah has given you strength. Maybe Allah has given you youth. Maybe Allah subhanahu has given you the ability to be creative. Use these talents and the strengths for the benefit of the ummah. And this was the genius of the Prophet ﷺ. He found, you know, goodness in every single companion and he made them in charge. So you are going to be in charge of knowledge. You're going to be in charge of the army. You're going to be in charge of giving propaganda or speaking or giving poetry. And this is, subhanAllah, what we need. We are a ummah of 1.8 billion people. We are gifted and talented, and we should be using these talents for our dunya and our akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us to find our place in this ummah. Ameen. So Hassan ibn Thabit, the poet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was joined with Sirin, the sister of Maria. So we spoke about slavery at length, and we mentioned how this issue of concubines is within Islam. It's a permissible issue, although it's not encouraged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers us to marry women. So when the Prophet receives Maria, he speaks to her and he invites her into Islam, and she rejects Islam, and she rejects being a Muslim. And you'd know from, if you looked at Juwayriya and Safiya, they came to him as slave women. The Prophet made them an offer, you can be set free, you embrace Islam and I'll marry you, or if you don't want to embrace Islam, it's your choice. The two of them embraced Islam and he married them. Maria does not embrace Islam, so she remains his concubine. And while she's in Medina, the Prophet ﷺ, even though she's not a Muslim, even though she rejects Islam, he spends a lot of time with her. And Aisha says that the Prophet ﷺ treated her very, very well. That she says, Aisha says, that no woman made her and Hafsa as jealous or upset as Maria did. Because number one, she was extremely beautiful. She was something, you know, very exotic, very, you know, spectacularly beautiful. I mean, imagine one king giving another king a gift. Of course, he's not going to give any kind of woman. It's a very special kind of woman. What Aisha says really upset them. The Prophet ﷺ didn't treat Maria like a slave. You know, he didn't treat her like a slave or talk to her like a slave. He knew that she was lonely. She clearly was very upset being sent away from her home. She wasn't happy about this arrangement. And he spent a lot of time with her, talking to her, being friends with her. And Aisha says, this is what upset us the most. That if he was only intimate with her, if he only used her, you know, for physical needs, it was almost understandable. But he treated her so nicely. And sometimes he would actually visit her when she was feeling lonely. He came to her and he visited her. He, in many ways, he treated her like a wife. And so Aisha and Hafsa really became upset about this. And they began putting pressure on him to leave her. At the same time, our mother Maria also, to show you the level of homesickness basically, when Maria and Serene were sent, they were sent also with a male relative, a cousin, to basically on the journey to keep watch with them, and he stayed in Medina. And there were rumors that he and Maria had some kind of affair happening because he would come visit her when she was alone. Now, even though, as we said, Maria at this time was not a wife of the Prophet ﷺ, being part of his household, and again, as I said in the last episode, when a man took a woman by his right hand, she was treated like a wife, in the sense that she was only with him. She would not be alone with other men. She was only be alone with her husband or with this man that she had this arrangement with. And therefore, you don't just visit, like you don't visit a man's wife alone. So similarly, Maria had the same level of hijab like the other wives. We said the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, not only couldn't you be alone with him, but they had this extra level of hijab between them. And so when this man visits Maria, it became a big issue. And so the Prophet ﷺ says to Sayyidina Ali, go and investigate what's happening here between Maria and her cousin. See if there's a problem here. And so when Sayyidina Ali investigates, he finds that subhanAllah, this man is actually a eunuch. Now, again, this is something which the previous nations and Islam is very much against. They would do something like this. So they would have, kings would have a harem. They would have a whole house, basically, of women, which the king or the ruler or the master would enjoy, all his slave women. And of course, these women have to be guarded and protected, so they are surrounded with male guards. But now, what prevents the male guard from being with the ladies, being intimate? So what they would do is they would castrate, they would remove the male organ from these men. Of course, it's completely haram, and in our Sharia, we don't do anything like this. But we found that this man that brought Maria and Sirin to the Prophet ﷺ, he was their cousin, and his male organ was removed, because this is what they used to practice in other cultures. Of course, Islam is totally against this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, Maria and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became very close and very intimate. And this was very difficult for Hafsa and Aisha, and they began to pressurize him to leave her. And there is a narration that you find in the books of tafsir. We know that the first ayah of Surah Tahrim, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, lima tuharrimu ma ahalla Allahu lak, O Prophet of Allah, O Nabi of Allah, why have you made forbidden what Allah has made halal? Now, in Bukhari and in the vast majority of tafsirs, we know the reason for this ayah was when Zainab had given the Prophet ﷺ honey, and Aisha and Hafsa said, why does your breath smell so bad? So he said, look, the only thing I ate was honey. And then they said, no, but this really makes your breath smell bad. And he felt so embarrassed about this that he said, from today, honey is haram. This is the standard view, that this is the view that you find in the authentic books of hadith. There is another alternate narration you find also in our books that mentions that Hafsa radiallahu anha, she was out of her house, and then when she came back, she found that the Prophet was visiting Maria on her day, and she became very upset, and she said, look, this is my day, and you have visited with Maria in my house, you know, you've just made me and Aisha so upset, all your wives, you've really made us sad with this lady, why don't you send her away, we don't want to see her. This is something which is natural. Another woman would be very upset seeing her husband with another woman, even though it is halal, even though this is his concubine, even though this is permissible in terms of Islam. But when the Prophet saw how sad it made Hafsa and Aisha, and he saw that this thing was really upsetting them, he said, you know what, if this thing upsets you so much, I don't need a woman like this, then I have made her haram for me, and I'll send her away if this is what you want. So she said, but how can you make it haram? This is something which Allah has permitted to you. So he said, I have made it haram for me, and I will send Maria away if it pleases you, and she will stay on the outskirts of Medina, and I won't visit her. So Hafsa said, how can you do this? So he said, and then the Prophet took an oath, I've made it haram for me. And the Prophet said, fine, I've made it haram, but don't spread the news, don't tell everyone, because it's a matter of deen now. So don't spread it and don't tell anyone. Of course, Hafsa couldn't keep it to herself, so she runs to Aisha immediately and says, you know what, I got rid of Maria. I was the one that pressurized him enough. And then Allah revealed the verse, O Ya Rasul, why, O Ya Nabi, why have you made haram? Well, Allah has made halal. Why are you sending Maria away? Maria didn't do anything wrong. She's also, what about her feelings? تَبْتَغِي مَرْضَاتَ أَزْوَاجِكَ You want to please your two wives, but what about Maria? You and her have a relationship and she's excited to see you. So this is another narration that this is the reason for this ayah. Although you find in Tafsir of Qurtubi, getting a bit technical here, this is a great book of Tafsir written by a scholar in Qurtuba in Spain, in Andalus, Cordova, many hundred years ago. One of the great books of Tafsir. And he puts both narrations in his book. And he says, when you look at authenticity, clearly the story of the honey is the authentic one. And this one about Maria is rather a spurious one. It's one that we don't accept. But Allahu A'lam, these two narrations are there. Nonetheless, because the Prophet ﷺ saw how much his wives were not happy with him visiting Maria, he did put her on the outskirts of Medina, and he would visit her not very often. When she became lonely, he would come visit her, but to please his wives, he basically did not keep himself with her. And then, subhanAllah, something completely unexpected, something which none of the other wives besides Khadija would have this honor, we found our mother Maria falling pregnant with the son of the Prophet ﷺ. So after all these years, the Prophet ﷺ now is in his 60s, and we said all his kids at this point, perhaps maybe all his children had died besides Fatima. Only Fatima is still alive. All his sons had died. And here Maria, of all people, she falls pregnant and she gives birth to a healthy baby boy, Ibrahim. The Prophet names him Ibrahim after his great-great-grandfather. I mean, Prophet Nabi Ibrahim is, of course, the great-great-grandfather many generations up of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he names this boy Ibrahim. And, you know, subhanAllah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his old age, we could say, was hoping perhaps this little boy would live, outlive him. He had buried all his children, all the kids that he had with Khadija, all of them he himself had buried besides Fatima. Perhaps this one would survive. And he was very, very fond of this little boy. So he said Maria was living a little bit outside of Medina. And when Ibrahim was born, the Prophet ﷺ would now make an effort to basically, as much as possible, go all the way to the outskirts of Medina to visit his son and play with him. The Sahaba would say that he was so fond of playing with this boy, he couldn't, you know, control himself. He would kiss him and pick him up. And also beautiful, we learn from this encounter, when Maria gave birth to Ibrahim, the Prophet ﷺ said, her son has set her free. Her son has set her free. Meaning, when a woman gives birth to a slave woman, gives birth to a child of the master, then we said the child becomes like a normal child, as if though on par with all the other kids, and the woman that he was with, she becomes set free immediately. So there's another mechanism within the Sharia to set slaves free. So now Maria becomes free because of her giving of birth to Ibrahim, and also at perhaps this time or just before or just after, she also embraces Islam. So she also becomes a Muslim, and she remains, and based on this narration, some scholars have said she remains a concubine, whereas others have said she now becomes a wife of the Prophet ﷺ. Based on the hadith, very clear hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says her son has set her free. Being a free woman, she's no longer a slave, yet she still remained a wife with the Prophet ﷺ. They still had intimacy together. So from this basis, it's my opinion, although it's a minority view, that she was actually a wife of the Prophet ﷺ. And of course, she had all the treatments of the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, that she would not be married to anyone else besides him, that you could not be alone with her. She had this extra level of hijab. So all these would indicate that she was, rather than a slave, she was really a wife of the Prophet ﷺ. So now this little boy, Ibrahim, and the Prophet ﷺ would visit him, and also Ibrahim, living outside of Medina, he would be suckled by the wife of a blacksmith. All the women would come and they would say, give us the honor to breastfeed your son, Ya Rasulullah. And one of the Sahaba, he was a blacksmith, his wife got this honor. And so the Prophet would visit him in his workshop sometimes with the smoke, and just to visit his son Ibrahim. After about a year and a half, 18 months or so, the small boy begins to get sick, and his condition deteriorates, and subhanAllah, it becomes clear that this boy won't live very long, and this is very sad for the Prophet ﷺ. So there's a beautiful hadith where the Prophet ﷺ goes with his Sahaba all the way to the blacksmith's house, and Ibrahim is there with, and Maria is with, and Sirin is with, and the small boy is basically dying. So the Prophet ﷺ picks up the boy, and he holds the boy, and he's crying. The Prophet ﷺ, you know, his tears are flowing. And he says, oh Ibrahim, it makes me very sad for you to go, but the only thing that gives me some happiness, the consolation, is that I know that this is the decree of Allah. This is the will of Allah. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees something, we submit ourselves to it. Allah only decrees that which is best. So we submit that this is the decree of Allah. And we also feel comfortable. He says to Ibrahim, I feel comfortable, I feel happy that we will soon meet each other. That soon we'll meet each other in the Akhirah. So when the Sahaba see the Prophet crying, and subhanAllah, amazing, there are many, many hadith of him laughing and smiling. Sahaba would say, when we saw him, he was smiling. But they didn't see him crying very often. You know, to see him with tears was not something that was very common. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what are these tears you're crying? And the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that to cry is nothing wrong. It's not haram for us to cry when someone dies. We can cry, and the eyes feel sad and the heart feels sad, but the tongue never says anything disrespectful to Allah or ungrateful to Allah. Even if our ruh, look at this hadith, even if our souls are being pulled, we still give hamd, we give praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the believer. Yes, we are allowed to feel sad. Yes, we miss those who have passed away. Yes, we cry when we think of them. But when we are to ask, how do you feel? We say, alhamdulillah, praise to Allah. Whatever Allah has decreed is the best. I submit myself to Allah. Allah knows and I don't know. But I feel sad. I miss my father, my mother, my children. This is fine, no problem. So the Prophet is crying here, and the Sahaba cry with him. You can imagine Maria and Sirin, the two of them are very, very sad. Sirin, of course, being the auntie, and Maria, the mother, she's crying, you know, very, very, very sad at losing her son. And subhanAllah, at that moment, in this very sad environment, in this sad atmosphere, something amazing happens. The sun itself becomes eclipsed. The sun is covered by the moon, and the day becomes dark. And the Sahaba become, you know, shocked. So naturally the Sahaba, they try to put two and two together. They say, because the Prophet's son has passed away, the sun, the S-U-N, the sun has become eclipsed. And this must be that the sun is maybe sad, or some sign that, you know, something amazing has happened. And when the Prophet hears this, in his grief, in his moment of sadness, in his moment of a father losing a son, he's still the Nabi, he's still a teacher. And he says to the Sahaba, don't say this, that verily the sun and the moon are ayat, they are signs of Allah, and they basically travel according to the commandments of Allah. They're in their own orbit, and they do not eclipse for people in the dunya. Nothing on the earth affects them. Their processes are independent from the earth. The sun and the moon's processes, the orbiting, has nothing to do with what happens on the earth, subhanAllah. Number one, we learn so many things from this. Number one, as we said, even in his grief, when it comes to teaching the ummah, this comes first. His personal sadness is secondary. Number two, this shows you the truth of his nubuwwah. This would have been an ideal opportunity for a fraudster, a charlatan, to take advantage of the Sahaba. But here the Prophet is very clearly teaching them that this eclipse and my son dying has nothing to do with each other. There's no link between them. It's just a coincidence. And then he teaches them that there's a special salah that you make, the salah of the kusuf, or the salah of the eclipse, when the sun is being eclipsed, or when the moon is being eclipsed, in fact, then you make salah during the duration of the eclipse. It's quite a long prayer. You actually come back up, you go into ruku, and you come back up from ruku, and you continue reciting again, and then you go into ruku, and you finish the rak'ah. It's quite long, during the duration of the eclipse, because these are of the ayat of Allah. It's something you see the magnificence of Allah, and you actually spend this time in awe and fear and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but nothing to do with my son passing away, Ibrahim. So this, subhanAllah, very tender moment in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ibrahim is buried along with all his other children. As we said, every single child of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would pass away, except Fatima, who passes away, you know, just a few weeks after he passed away, but a few months after he passes away. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would remain, as we said, Maria would remain with him. She embraces Islam and she stays with him as his wife. She continues to, along with the other wives, once the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passes away, she remains on Islam and she does not go back to her religion, and she stays as the wife of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into the caliphate of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. We don't know much about her. She didn't do much after that, and she passes away, and Sayyidina Umar, it's mentioned, performed the janazah salah on her, and she's buried in Medina along with the other women of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Al-Baqi cemetery, close to where Ibrahim, her son, was buried, the son of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if we said about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all of his children, 7 children was given to him or born to him by Khadija. So Khadija is the only woman that bore all his children except for Ibrahim. Right at the end, Maria had the honor of being a child of the Prophet ﷺ. And we might ask, you know, what is the wisdom behind this? And clearly one of the clear wisdoms of this is Allah is teaching once again through the family of the Prophet ﷺ how to treat a slave woman. From this, some may say, why did the Prophet ﷺ keep her as a slave initially? Why didn't he just free her? One of the reasons, she didn't embrace Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ, as the Quran mentions, he's not allowed to marry a woman that is not a Muslim. So the fact that she didn't embrace Islam, number one. Number two, it also teaches from this marriage, and at that time it was relevant, our time is not so relevant anymore, how to treat these slave women, that you treat them as if though they are your wives, with the same level of care and comfort and respect. And then of course, how to set them free. So the Prophet ﷺ says that what you should be doing is not keeping these women as slaves, rather train them, educate them, give them a level of honor, and then set them free, and then marry them. This is what Allah wants. Allah wants us to set these slave women free, and take them rather as wives, rather than concubines, and that the children born from these women are just as we said, legitimate. They are your kids as the kids of your other wives. In fact, I mentioned this to someone in the week, that the majority of the Khalifas of Islam, the rulers of this ummah, their mothers were slave women. Because the king would have many slaves, and the firstborn son to the king would be the next Khalifa, and many a time it would be a slave woman that would give him, bear him the first son. So many of the Khalifas of Islam, their mothers were actually slave women, foreign women, and subhanAllah, we didn't distinguish a man based on his, where his mother came from, walhamdulillah. And then of course the final thing we take from this story is that subhanAllah, if you look at the tenderness the Prophet ﷺ had for a woman who is a concubine, a woman who wasn't even a Muslim, then we were to ask ourselves, what about your wife that is a Muslim, your wife that is not a slave, your wife that came to you willingly? Maria, of course, didn't come willingly, she came as a slave. Your wife who gave herself to you in nikah, how then should we be treating these women? How then should we kind of comfort and respect and softness should we be giving to our wives? I mean, subhanAllah, and if this is how the Prophet treats a slave, then how should we be treating those closest to us, subhanAllah? And lastly, I mean, the final point is, we mentioned that you would find when the Prophet passes away, it says that he never ever kept slaves. This shows you his sunnah, that Zayd was a slave, he set him free, Safiya, Jawariya, Maria, many slaves came to him and he set them free. And he did not die except that all his slaves he had set free. And every single person that was a slave to him, when given the option to be free and to leave him, they made the choice that they would rather remain with him, to be surrounded with him, like Zayd preferred to be with him than to even go with his family, to show you the kindness and the kind of man the Prophet ﷺ was. May Allah bless us to be of the, to follow the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not just in our ritual ibadat, but more in terms of his character, in how we treat others. Let us follow his sunnah in the way he smiled, in the way he treated his wives and his children and sahaba. May we bring that kind of love to our families and to all the people around us, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, and be a source of goodness in this dunya, especially going into the new year. Thank you so much. For any questions, concerns or comments, wismuhammad@gmail.com. We'll continue in our next episode with the final personality, Maymuna, the last wife of the Prophet ﷺ, Maymuna, and we'll discuss certain further other controversial issues with regards to women in Islam, and we hope that inshallah as we reach episode 50, we'll conclude the series. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.